7 today.
A senator from Kansas says, no way do I want terrorists in my backyard. And can you blame him now that it's leaked out that it's looking like Leavenworth and a site in Michigan as a potential place to house the folks from Gitmo? Suddenly, people not too thrilled with the choices. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Hope you had a great start to your week. Do you believe it? Here we are already in August. Coming up a little bit later in the show, we will turn the page on the calendar and look back, actually, in history when we take you back in time. Also, news you can abuse and birthdays as well, including the leader of the free world. He's celebrating birthday. Do you know how old he is? We'll tell you when we get to birthdays. Speaking of the leader of the free world, yesterday on America Tonight, we talked about the fact that our taxes were going to get jacked up and hijacked one more time, even though it was a campaign promise that our taxes wouldn't go up one dime. Now, as usual, what we're seeing is this backtrack on the question of a middle-class tax hike. And today, from Washington, even though just days previous, it was obvious there was a dance around health care reform and how it was going to be paid for and, you know, ultimately be good for the country and all kinds of other spin that was available on the Sunday talk shows. Well, now there's this backpedaling on the tax hike itself. And, of course, it is because it's time to defuse it since the one big promise during the campaign was that the taxes wouldn't go up. So a lot of people voted on that. When you vote for a candidate, do you vote on some of the things that they say that they're going to do that will affect your wallet? Do you vote on what they say on things that will affect your country? Do you vote on things that they say that they promise to do that ultimately will lead to greater security for you and for your neighbors? And, you know, ultimately, when you had a list of what was the most important thing, what did everybody say? Well, it was the economy, because people were in so much trouble. And, of course, we see that the unemployment numbers are still really, really high. And there now is this grappling of whether or not to extend the unemployment benefits. So reducing this deficit, we keep hearing how painful it's going to be. That's sidestepping the issue. It was the Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner who said over the weekend that the United States is going to have to do what it takes to get the deficit under control. And health care reform alone obviously isn't going to work, and who's going to pay for it if that in fact does go through. So anyway, the White House flack, Robert Gibbs, scrambled. This is all so familiar to us, isn't it? Scrambled to set the record straight Monday afternoon. Here's the quote. I am reiterating the president's commitment in the clearest terms possible. Are you listening to me, everybody? He is not raising taxes on those that make less than $250,000 a year. If you make less than $250,000 a year, what do you think the chances are that you will not see a tax increase? But there are other ways to raise revenue, as we know, that don't involve taxing the so-called middle class, right? Big promises, these big promises to make permanent the tax cuts under George Bush for everyone, right? So keep that number in mind. If you fall into that category, less than $250,000, you should not see a tax increase. Remember, originally it was like $300,000. And, of course, because the panic set in and the White House phones blew up and the emails started to come, then the backpedaling begins. We're not going to backpedal on this show. We're going to move forward. And in moving forward, one of the things that seemed like it was working, certainly, because obviously many of us had clunkers to turn in and like the idea of, okay, you want me to help the environment, you want me to stimulate the economy, I'll take that clunker that is a piece of junk and there is no real true blue book value on it, and I will go to my local dealership, and I hope I can get the highest amount, $4,500, but if I can get $3,500, that's cool too, and I'll get a new car. So the Cash for Clunkers program is about to run out of money. You know how this works. You have that car, you drive it in, and what I just described is the scenario that happens, right? Incredibly popular with people. So Congress initially throws out $1 billion, and then the funding was supposed to last through November, but now the $1 billion has already been committed after just 4 days. That's 4 days, and that was it. And many of the consumers, meaning you and me or whoever else has a clunker out there, I guess I don't really fall into that category, haven't been able to close the deal, consummate the deal. But the program was so big, and there have been so many failures, you got to think that the president is desperate to save this thing. And so members of Congress are saying they're going to add the funding. The House already anteed up $2 billion last week. The Senate is expected to vote tomorrow. But some people think Cash for Clunkers is a bad idea altogether. Because the first problem is that under this type of program, what has to happen for that car that you trade in, it has to be scrapped. And so the engine, any of that kind of stuff, is all destroyed, of course. It's mangled. And then it pays people to junk cars that still have value. So is the program good to begin with? Because would you have used the car for another couple of years, or you're just jumping at the bait to get something sooner rather than wait it out and save the coin? So I don't know. I think the Cash for Clunkers idea, personally, I can see the value in it. But what I look at is the fact that you had people excited about something, and people that probably really did, more people than not, that really needed a new car, and that they could turn it in and they could get the $4,500 or $4,000 or whatever the ultimate amount would be. And then they would get the new car, so they would be able to afford to do that. And then this whole idea of you're going to get better gas mileage and it's better for everyone all the way around, well, you know, it actually wasn't such a bad idea. The bad idea was not to have enough money to pony up for this, right? So, I don't know. Does it sink the automakers? Does it keep them afloat for a little while? Who benefits from this? Who benefits from this? And what about the buyers who get the cars? Do they, here's the other thing, do they have enough money to keep paying those car payments? I'm hoping that the clunkers and the people that turned it in can do it, and it doesn't end up something like the mortgage fiasco did, where, you know, of course, people couldn't make the payments. Because even with cars, it's the same thing. They can repo it, baby. You can't make that $300 payment, that $350, that $400. The notices come, and then the knock at the door, and bye-bye car. All right, so do you believe it? Do you think your taxes won't be raised? Do you believe what now they're saying out of Washington? And I'm going to talk about the GOP and the Dems and the fight over health care reform. What else is new? We do that each and every show, it seems. 800-259-5791. Kate, hanging with you here on America Tonight.
All right, everybody. Lock and load.
Being a part of Life Change Tea has been an exhilarating experience. I love the testimonies. Julie in New York writes, I love this product. I feel great. It worked immediately. You can feel the cleansing right away. Other products don't work right away like this one does. Mrs. Luella from Missouri writes, my daughter has lost 27 pounds. She loves the tea. And David from Tennessee writes, my wife has a lot of digestive problems and the tea really helps her a lot. I like it too. And here's my favorite from CJ in Minnesota. He writes, this stuff really works. No, I mean it really works. Be one of the many testimonies that we receive every month. Order today online at GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. www.thebeefcheap.com. Or you can call us at 928-308-0408. You know the number, 928-308-0408. Be our next testimony. You love us, and we love you.
Hi, this is John Swenson again at Midas Resources, and let me ask just one question. What would you list as the things that the federal government does really well? The armed forces and printing bogus money doesn't count. Now take that blank page of yours and list the ways that you have to protect your assets and escape the paper markets. The only real option is precious metals for your retirement, your kids' education, or just plain survival when the whole Obama mess comes crashing down. You are the only one you can count on for a stimulus package, and I'd like to discuss a proven strategy to create that safety net for you and your family. Please give me a call at 800-686-2237, extension 128. That's 800-686-2237, extension 128. And together we can develop a Make Sense program before the clock runs out. Once more, John Swenson at 800-686-2237, extension 128. And take charge of your future and thank you.
Studies have shown that many people do not get the proper vitamins and minerals necessary to maintain good health. With so many places to choose from, deciding where and what to buy can be a lengthy, frustrating process. The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com has over 150 bulk wholesale nutritional products in stock, including vitamins, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts. PureBulk.com's products contain no fillers, no additives, no fancy retail packaging, and no minimum purchase, allowing you to save 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. PureBulk.com carries atomic iodine, red wine extracts, ginkgo biloba, oil of oregano, natural coffee caffeine, L-arginine, resveratrol, hyaluronic acid, creatine, curcumin, pine bark extract, grape seed extract, and more. For prices, additional products, and more information, visit PureBulk.com. That's PureBulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. That's 406-251-3270 today.
President Obama is committed to not raising taxes on anybody who earns less than $250,000 family-wise, of course. I don't know. Are you buying the tune that they're singing? We had some scares over the weekend, right? 800-259-5791. Mark is listening to us in New York. Hey, Mark.
What's up, kiddo? I tuned in late, so if I repeat myself, cut me right off for another caller. But with these cars that are getting turned in, I heard today on the radio that the dealerships are required to corrosify, in other words, put corrosives in the engine. These cars are being taken off the road, okay, totally.
Right,
now, they
right.
can resell them at no percent to a lot of people in this country who need a car to get back and forth to work that really can't, you know. Or they could have
right.
shipped them. The Japanese love these cars because of the power of the air condition. But, Kate, it's a little deeper than that, you know. Because of what they're doing with the actual material of the situation, which is actually the car. But they're actually
right.
destroying every one of these cars.
I know.
Some of them maybe should be, but I'd imagine that the percentage, I think that, I don't know, you know?
No, I agree with you. I just said that. I said that it's interesting that you called because that's what I said. They're destroying it, so the engine, the whole thing, there's nothing coming out of that. That's what's happening with those cars. And now the clunker sales are, what, nearing 250,000, so there are a couple of problems here. It wasn't good in the first place, and now there's all these people that want this money and that want to grab the cars, but was it ill-conceived anyway? I mean, you know, part of me thinks it's a good thing, but then part of me thinks, just like you, the fact that they're not using any of the parts. Or, like you said, gosh, you could even recycle it, and there's at least some of them, and there's people that you could get on their feet that could use the car. So then you're also still stimulating the economy because you're reselling it.
Yep. You know what this sounds like? I hate to bring it up, but sounds like the Volkswagen, Hitler's Volkswagen, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because what's going to happen, you know, a couple years down the road?
Yeah,
I appreciate it, honey. But, yeah, they're corrosive. You know, they're supposed to be a conservative, even with they're all green, but not really when they're going to put the corrosives and use more of that. Unfortunate. Even kids who might want to rebuild, God forbid, you know, a kid to get off the computer, grab one of them cars, and, you know, maybe he wants to be a mechanic and he could fix it up himself. You know, would have been a good father and son project, you know. So this might be a little deeper than just the car. I don't know.
I agree. No, I agree. I think there's things they could have done with it. So that was what I was talking about that I would think was a little bit of the hesitation. Hey, thanks for the call, Mark.
Thank you.
And then, of course, we have to, now the whole thing is, now that it has worked with the $1 million in rebates, of course, it could be totally done by Friday because the Senate has to approve, which I am assuming, although it was a close vote the first time around, they'll have to decide. I mean, where are we getting all this money? They're going to have to decide on the two bill tomorrow, maybe, but it has to be at least by Friday anyway, because, you know, some of the Democrats were saying that the problem is that you're not getting enough fuel efficiency anyway, and that the rebates of $3,500 were going to people buying new cars that get as little as four more miles a gallon than the gas-guzzling type. So, you know, is this really a green kind of thing or not? So far, just so you know, that the new figures that they release, mostly Hyundais and stuff, but the new figures that they release show that the cars that are being bought with the rebates are averaging about 10 miles per gallon better in fuel efficiency than the scrap ones, the ones they're trading in. So that may help, I guess, with the Senate and some of the skeptical folks on the cash for clunkers. But even though there's these assurances from the White House, some of the dealers just don't want to be on the hook for the money because the Senate was pretty close, like I said last time. If they don't approve the $2 billion, where are you? And, in fact, the chairman of the National Automobile Dealers Association said they had to go on record and warn dealers that there weren't any guarantees they'd be reimbursed for sales that they made under the program this week. That a lot of them have decided to stop offering the deal because it's just too risky. Now, of course, the transportation secretary, Ray LaHood, is, you know, touting this beyond belief and saying that if you're getting 9.6 or 10 miles per gallon better, this is massively successful because 80% of the traded-in clunkers are pickups or SUVs, and so that means gas guzzlers are off the road. Now, the leading replacement, the top car, is the Ford Focus. That's what some of the people that are turning it in are going for. And Ford is saying that their sales rose like 2.4% over the same month from this year, from the same month last year. So it's showing that there's certainly some success there. But here you go. You have it work, and then they run out of money in a week. So they didn't plan for this. They didn't expect that it was going to work as well as it did. Senator John Kyle from Arizona says that maybe they should take a time out so they could get more details about how it's working before putting more money into the kitty. Because if somebody's going to have to pay for this, and you've got $4,500 for everybody that wants to take advantage of the program, of course it's going to add up. And making the case for more funding on the other side of it, they're trying to get as much information on all the transactions that have happened as to, like, the 10 miles per gallon, all that stuff, how much you would save a year in fuel costs, you know, all the good guy numbers. But I think Senator Kyle has a good point, and it just, like, goes toward what Mark in New York said. Maybe there's some things that should be looked at in moving forward with it. It's a good idea. It's a good idea that Senator Susan Collins, Republican from Maine, she was the one who actually authored this and put it together. I think in theory it's a pretty good idea, but why not look at a few of the results of this and then pony up the money? Or if there's enough positive data that's out there, then push the $2 billion. But the problem is it's this constant movement of money. You look at where we are in the deficit, and you look at where, you know, are you taking money out of one corner to put it in another? Ultimately, is it successful? Is it working because consumers are saving money if they're getting cars that are more fuel efficient anyways? I mean, I just gave you the statistic, saving $1,000 or $700 or, you know, whatever it is. But typical, of course, there isn't enough money to continue to push it through. And if I were somebody that had to make that decision on a lot, I don't think that I could go there at this point and feel completely comfortable that it would be backed up. In the meantime, a couple of other things besides the cash for clunkers making news is unemployment. Anything to help people in the country that need a helping hand, right? But the extension of unemployment benefits has some people saying, well, wait a second. Should we really extend these benefits? Are these people that are just being lazy, or are these people that can't really find jobs? And in fact, and we're going to let you hear this coming up, Michelle Malkin and Cynthia Tucker got into it on George Stephanopoulos' show a little bit over the weekend under the unemployment benefits and whether or not to extend them. Michelle Malkin contends, well, you know, here we go again, extension. And if you look back in history, what are you doing for the person that you keep extending the benefits for? But I've said this. I know people that have looked really hard, that have incredible work histories and great references and everything else, they're having a hard time in their particular area finding anything. And they're even branching out of what they do and trying to find something. So I'm sure there's some people that kick back and live on the dole, but how many people in reality are people who really need, especially where we are now with this, quotes, recession, how many people really, really need that? Because for every job they apply for, there's 500 candidates where normally they'd be considered one of the top people. So I think because of where we're at in history, you have to make an exception. Normally I might say, oh, yeah, but, man, do you want to keep doing that? Do you want to keep extending it? And where are we coming up with this cash and blah, 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 blah? But I got to say, in this case, only because of the fact that we're so upside down financially, I really believe a lot of people are doing their damnedest to find something, and they can't find it. 800-259-5791. What do you think? We're going to let you hear that little back and forth on ABC in case you missed it, coming up around the bend.
Oh, sure. I'm not in any hurry.
If the current state of the economy is severely impacting your life, this might be some of the most important information you will ever hear. As the economy continues to spiral out of control, many people, just like you, wonder how they will support their family and pay their bills. The government is not going to help out the people who desperately need it. It's time for you to look outside the box and change your life. If you're tired of the get-rich-quick schemes, if you're tired of living paycheck to paycheck, if you're tired of being tired, you need to pick up Robert Beadle's new book, and it's called Here's What You Do. Yes, Here's What You Do. The 72-page book will show you what you need to do to make the best of an economy that's in the middle of a recession. And the best part? This revolutionary book is priced under $10 and is only $6 for the e-book. Here's What You Do to get Here's What You Do. Visit hereswhatyoudo.net. That's hereswhatyoudo.net. hereswhatyoudo.net. And start changing your life today.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communication Radio Network.
Silver is mankind's oldest natural antibiotic. This very special mineral has been used for centuries by most cultures throughout the world. Utopia, Texas is home to a small but mighty supplement company called Utopia Silver, who offers colloidal products produced in distilled water without use of animal protein, nitrates, or saline solutions. Because our colloidal silver is made up of nano-sized particles, it can be better utilized at the cellular level, and germs can't mutate to be resistant like they can to modern-day antibiotics.
Utopia Silver has a broad range of health supplements, including colloidal silver, gold, and copper, with a money-back guarantee on the colloidal products we produce. For 4 years, Utopia Silver has been fighting in the Texas courts against agencies that would steal our God-given rights of health care and freedom of speech. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's UTOPIA silver.com. Or call 888-213-4338. 888-213-4338 and help us win this battle.
You worry. If you don't, you don't understand the situation. Hi. Summer's coming and now's the time to learn self-sufficiency. If you're going to eat from nature's bounty of wild edible plants, remember, there's a learning curve. Experience is the best teacher, but that means time. To speed it up, you'll need to build on the wisdom of a teacher who has lived it. Author Linda Runyon is that teacher. Her Wild Food Knowledge Package is the crash course. The DVD gives you a 3-hour overview of her world directly from her. The book gives you an in-depth reference with all of the insider know-how you'll ever need. And her wild cards are your portable summary and cheat sheet for your field work. This 3-pronged learning system will take you from spectator to scholar to gourmet survivalist in weeks, not years. Folks, I can vouch that Linda's the real deal. She's my mom, and I watched her do it. So go to upthefield.com or call 888-51-EAT-FREE. Start now. Knowledge is power. Better take action. I think a storm's coming.
If you currently owe back taxes to the IRS or state, this special announcement is for you. Tax authorities are now accepting settlements, and you can resolve your tax debt for a fraction of what you owe. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, now is the time to act before it's too late. We're the Rely On Group, and our tax resolution experts are here to help you right now. Many of our tax experts are former IRS agents. They know how to legally and permanently resolve your tax problems and make sure you don't pay a dime more than you have to. Call now to immediately remove tax liens, eliminate tax penalties, and end wage garnishments. If you owe back taxes to the IRS or state, call us for free information about how you can legally settle your tax liabilities and save thousands of dollars. Call now. 1-800-984-1944. 1-800-984-1944. 1-800-984-1944.
A big shout out to the people who are participating in this really cool thing, the Big Canoe Kayak Race. Thanks to Bill in Jefferson City, Missouri for pointing it out to me. Up in Kansas City, the Missouri River, 340 endurance race starts, and it happens 8 a.m., and it's the fourth year they're doing it. I guess there's winners in a couple of different categories, and they're from all over the place, right? It's the winners reach St. Charles, and the finish line is in St. Charles. They do that by paddling night and day. That's got to be an extreme event going from down the Missouri River. Wow. And they call it the Big Canoe Kayak Race. Do you think you could do that, Donovan? Could you paddle through the night and through the day to try to make that endurance race, which I guess is 340, the Missouri River 340.
I flatter myself to think that I could, but, you know.
Really? Really? So you'd be game for it?
Yeah, I'd be up for that.
We got to get a
certain amount of practice and training, perhaps.
I have just a brilliant idea for everybody listening to America tonight, because we'll take pictures of this and we'll post them up so all of you can see them. But maybe we could do a combo thing where we have both Matt and Donovan. They're the two that get in the canoe, and they represent the show and represent, of course, the Mighty Network, and do that race next year. I'm getting you entered.
Okay. I'll see if I can find a kayak and maybe practice a little bit.
Yeah, you've got a year to really work this out, but I'm serious about it. I'm going to call the organizers tomorrow. Ah, bravo. Do we have some applause for that? He's agreeing to do it right here on the air. I called him out on the air. Yeah. Now the key is, can we get Matt on board with this? Well, I don't know. Well, that might be a little shaky for him. He might be game for it. We'll talk him into it. That's what we're going to do. Well, speaking of talking them into it, Michelle Malkin couldn't really get a lot of the people at the roundtable on ABC to agree with her view as far as extending unemployment benefits. And here's what that sounded like over the weekend.
Back.
And at what point are they going to be willing to come back without the incentive of $4,500
to buy a car? If you put enough government cheese in front of people, they're just going to keep eating it, and you're just kicking the can down the road. And just to hammer this point about the unemployment benefits extension again, it was Larry Katz, who is the chief labor economist under the Clinton Labor Department, who came out with a study, and there are a lot of these smart economists who say this, that if you keep extending these temporary unemployment benefits, you're just going to extend joblessness even more.
Well, I don't know if I follow that, though. I mean, you're saying people...
That was a Clinton economist who said it, George.
Choosing to take the unemployment benefits when a job is available?
79 weeks already, and then they're going to extend it by another 13 weeks. And what happens is, according to these economists who've seen it, including this Clinton economist, is that people will just delay getting a job until the 3 weeks before the benefits run out.
Well, that might be true when there are jobs out there that are available, but there are very few jobs available at the moment. So I don't think people are just using that unemployment to be lazy instead of going out there searching for a job. Most jobs...
I'm not making a moral judgment. It's an incentive problem.
But when businesses advertise the few job openings they have, they'll advertise 20 openings. They have 6,000 applicants.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's the problem.
Or Starbucks says we're hiring, suddenly you'll see the lines are around the block. I anecdotally, George, I have a kid whose some friends who just graduated from college, and many of them don't have jobs. And boy, they are looking though. I think there's a great.
And there are other states that have, especially the Midwest, Ohio, Michigan, Indiana, especially.
All right, so see, I kind of agree there. Normally I might say, hey, there's a lot of people that are just taking the handout. They're not pumping the resumes out there trying to find the gig. But I think in my own world, I've seen that. I know people that are scorching the pavement trying to get something, and it's exactly that description that there are just no jobs. And even taking jobs that they normally wouldn't take, it's not even about that. It's that in a lot of cases, there are so many people that are out there looking where you normally might even just have 100 people for a job. You have 1,000 people. And everybody's saying that. Everybody's saying if they put an ad on Craigslist, they put an ad in the local paper, if they're, advertising in some other form to try to get somebody to come in to do anything, work in an office, etc. They cannot believe the amounts of people that applied. I'll tell you what somebody at a network told me. They had a secretarial position open, and it paid, like $34,000. And, of course, this was in Los Angeles, where that's not great cash at all in L.A. But if you need some money, you need some money, and who knows what the circumstances were. She could have been living with somebody or married somebody that was making decent money. Regardless, the people that were applying for the job, it was crazy. There were people with master's degrees. There were people that had massive experience beyond what that job required. And ultimately, the person who got the job was somebody who was overqualified really for it, but was just great, came in the office, was enthusiastic, and has turned out to be perfect for the office, but is somebody who was making three times what they were making, but felt that, hey, at least they had a job. It was that bad. And who knows if they're, and probably they are, looking while they're on the job, but it's pretty tough. So I'd say, listen, we're going to bail out these fat cats like AIG, and then when the economy is turned upside down and all around and there are legitimate people that need an extension, I think you got to give it to them. You got to give it to them. Here's a story that I didn't mention, but I want to jump to it because I wonder if he'll have any success or not. We talked with a couple of people on America Tonight about the two American journalists who are in North Korea, and they've been there now for a couple of months. Actually, it's probably been longer than that. It's been over 3 months. And one of them is Lisa Ling's sister. I mentioned this already. And what happened was they were over near that border. Some say that they were snatched because that's often what happens to people who get close, and that they weren't, it wasn't so much they were doing this undercover work. But regardless, they're not saying that. They're asking for forgiveness, which of course they have to be contrite if they want to get out of the situation. And they were sentenced to this crazy sentence where it's hard, hard labor. They're in one of those prison camps, horrible prison camps, where you're moving boulders around from side to side. Literally, like you could picture in your imagination, like an old television show. So these two reporters and the families have been careful in their pleas to ask for the release of them. Now, Bill Clinton is over there, and he's trying to negotiate that to get them released. What's going on with North Korea? It'll be interesting to see, with all this international standoff stuff over the nuclear program. I've already talked about this. It'll be interesting to see if they try to use that as leverage against the U.S. And so you've got this Una Lee and Laura Ling, who both have families, both are married, both have families, and were reporters for Current TV. And they were picked up way back in March while they were reporting on that Chinese-North Korean border. And they were sentenced in June, remember, 12 years of hard labor for going into the country, what they were accused of illegally, and engaging in hostile acts. And the idea that Clinton's there, he's the second former U.S. president to visit North Korea. You have to go back to Jimmy Carter as the last guy who did that in the mid-90s. Yeah. And with all this tension, it would be interesting to see if Clinton can broker their release. But I'm thinking it's going to be pretty tough. I hope for these women that he's able to get them released. But I'm thinking, man, when you think of this trip, and I'm wondering this, I wonder if the taxpayers, somebody asked me this, I wonder if the taxpayers are footing the bill for it. But Kim Jong-il, he wants to be treated as a world leader, playing on the same field as the U.S. So if Clinton can find a way to stroke his ego, I guess, then maybe he works it. Maybe somehow they decide to release them. But with what's happening with the nuclear side of things and the standoff member in the waterways, etc., boy, it's a brutal balance here. And I would think that he would want something in return, or he'll try to negotiate for something in return. But Bill Clinton can't do that. I mean, he can't back off of what's happening. There isn't a negotiation here with the UN, or certainly with the United States, on the whole nuclear standoff. That can't happen. So I'm going to say it's going to be rough waters for him to negotiate. But you've got to just imagine in your mind, can you imagine these two reporters are over there? And so which is true? Do they literally get snatched from the border, or are they trying to get, you know, weave themselves in and out the border, knowing that it was risky, obviously, because what they're reporting on is people trying to get away from North Korea and that lifestyle. So the story itself would be interesting, right? But at what risk? Got some emails here. We're going to do that next, along with a dungeon moment. We haven't had one of those in a while. And plus, the blunder of the day. So the blunder of the day, dungeon moment, and emails as well. That's on the flip side here on America Tonight.
Shabam! Shabam is here! Woo!
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. Doctors who have tried Heart and Body Extract with their patients are thrilled with the results as well. Here's what Dr. Goodman has to say about his experience with the product.
If you notice that most times there are these drug ads on TV, they have a list of possible side effects. I find that if you're going to take something that is, you're trading one problem for five or six other problems, that to me doesn't make sense. And using something that is natural, that is absorbed into the body, particularly because in a liquid form, I think is the best way to go.
Call to order your 2 month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Millions of Americans are beginning to realize the enormity of the economic and political problems facing the U.S. and the world. And for the first time in their lives, they are feeling the need for preparedness. Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest in dehydrated foods for almost 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, unlike other companies that just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Other companies are quoting delivery times of 1 to 2 months, while Ready Reserve ships within 5 business days. Many companies do not even offer a catalog. We will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Dial 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit our website at readyreservefoods.com. Factory direct, wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us at 1-800-453-2202.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NOTAX. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Blunder of the day, which has to do with a technical snafu on a television show. And we're going to throw somebody in the dungeon because the jury hasn't made up its mind yet. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. First, though, let's go to Nick, who's listening to us in Michigan. Hey, Nick.
Hi, I'd like to make a comment about the health care controversy.
Mm-hmm.
Guest suggestion at the same time for Robert Samuelson from Newsweek.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he wrote an incredible essay about the problem 20 years ago. And I consider him a real foundational thinker. And by that, I mean he gets the whole root. You don't have the branches obscure the trunk. And
okay. What
he argues is that we want our healthcare system to do three primary things. The first is everyone should be covered regardless of ability to pay. And we want free choice for our doctors. And doctors want to practice as they see fit. And the third thing is we want to control costs.
Right.
The problem is, Samuelson points out, no system can do this because somebody always pays. And if we have coverage for everybody, we'll all want more. And the someone else who always pays will have to control costs. And
right.
To control costs, we have to limit certain things. That contradiction, argues Samuelson, is always obscured in our rhetoric about health care. And we go on and on like this without recognizing it. And people should recognize it if they're for the government paying, because the government will still have to control costs.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I go along with what Ronald Reagan said. Government is not a solution to our problems. Government is the problem, and they'll have with this. You're absolutely right. You nailed it.
Yeah, just one more comment on that about foundational thinking. You're a baseball fan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a friend of mine summed up the Pete Rose controversy with a great insight that really focuses it for people. And it's a good way to remember to think clearly about stuff. He said, Pete Rose figured out the one way, the only way, to keep himself out of the Hall of Fame.
Yes, of course, the gambling.
Yep.
Yeah. Nick, good information. I like where you're headed with that. Think about the foundation. You're right. And the government will have the same problem, which is why my argument is we can't go in that direction. I think it would be a big mistake. And certainly in this hurried rush sense, it's not good, because there isn't a foundation that's laid out correctly anyway. Even if we were going to jump to a different healthcare system and have a one payer, that's not it's not laid out correctly. The foundation, the bricks aren't laid anyway. Thanks, Nick. All right, I promised the dungeon moment, and here is the dungeon moment. Jurors in that corruption trial, you know, Congressman William Jefferson from Louisiana, you know, he's the guy who stuffed 90,000 in bills in his freezer, and the feds found it, the FBI found it. And they captured also him on video taking a payment, and some crazy thing was made up there. So you've got 8 women and 4 men. They deliberated for 3.5 hours on Thursday, 5.5 hours on Friday. And so far, no verdict on this thing. Jefferson was indicted on charges of using his congressional clout, of course, between 2001 and 2005, to solicit and get hundreds of thousands of dollars in bribes for himself and his family in exchange for promoting products and services in Africa, especially Nigeria and other places. So because the jury hasn't been able to make up its mind, and he could get a maximum of 235 years in prison, by the way, he's pled not guilty. He, of course, lost his reelection in 2008. We've decided that we are going to help him into our dungeon.
This chamber has no windows and no doors.
Yeah, I like the stashed cash, though, in the freezer. When that story broke, I was doing the show, and I just couldn't believe it. I thought, wow, of all the stupid things. And, of course, once you're caught cold on videotape, it's pretty tough to come up with a tall tale that works, where they're not going to somehow be able to charge you. They had him cold. There's so much evidence. Remember, then it was the race to go to his office and rifle that up, and a lot of people on the Hill thought that was wrong because they thought the police shouldn't be able to just go in there, but it happened, and there was some controversy based on that. All right, how about the blunder of the day? The blunder of the day has to do with a technical snafu. You know, on these cable shows, they do so many show after show after show after show. And who knows what happened here, but it was on MSNBC. We're going to let you take a little listen to this. When David Schuster was talking to his guest, and she was just couldn't really pay attention because she didn't really know what was going on. She couldn't hear what was going on.
Explain the main point, and how widespread are these concerns?
I'm sorry. You're not coming in. I just don't think I can answer this question without hearing it.
Well, let's try that.
She really can't hear? I really can't hear.
Well, how are you answering?
I can see the...
Oh.
All right, so what happened there is, you know, you can see in a monitor, and you know you can see that you're on, but if you can't hear it, you have no idea what the question is. You know, that actually happened to me because I started in television. It happened to me I was a guest on a sports show, and I had no clue. Somebody was asking me stuff about the Cowboys. I had no clue what they were asking. I was almost trying to lip read, and figure out. And I and nobody got it on the set until, you know, like two questions in. It was pretty tough. Well, let me see. What's he going to ask me? Let me tell you what I think is going to happen with the Dallas Cowboys. But it was a weird moment on MSNBC because they thought, well, how can you, you heard what they said, how can you answer then? And she was just looking at the monitor. See, nothing's perfect. Doesn't matter who you're working for. It's live, baby, and that's what you get when you do a live show. So that's the blunder of the day. Somebody got chewed out for that one, and who knows who it was. Poor technical staff. They always get the brunt of it. Let's head to emails. We got some good, juicy emails this time around. And if you want to send me an email, you can do that at americatonight.net. You can reflect on foundations, like Nick did in Michigan. You can send me your grandmother's recipe for pound cake. You can talk about how you found the real birth certificate of Barack Obama and you want to exclusively reveal it to me. That's fine. Whatever it is, whatever you want to get off your chest, feel free to do that. Let's rifle through these. Here's one from Fred. Fred says, Kate, I'm with you. I never thought I would agree with Ann Coulter. Some of the things, actually, she says I like, but a lot of things she says I don't agree with, like all that hype over the widows. Remember that when she was on the Today Show? Of course, I remember that. And he goes on to say the birthers thing is ridiculous. It's a controversy that's contrived. There is no basis in this. Thanks. Love the show. Here's another one from John. John says, hello, Kate. Say hi to the big staff in Minneapolis for me. I can only imagine what those studios look like as I hear you describing them as plush and lush and a whole bunch of other things. Ooh, yes, just let your imagination run wild. My question is, do you think healthcare should be reformed in some way? You do say that, but I don't think you agree, certainly, with the plan that is being pushed by the Democrats. No. If you listen to what I'm saying, I absolutely don't agree with this 1,000 pages of craziness. Because every day it changes. Every week it changes. Every moment it changes. First, we're going to have the public option. Then we're not going to have the public option. It's almost like when there's too many complaints, oops, we're going to back off from that. So there's not enough thought in this. Yes, there have been decades of people screaming about health care. I've said this before. There are people that have good health care. There are people that have putrid health care. There are people that can't afford health care. There are sad scenarios out there. Absolutely. Absolutely. And do I think some things could be revamped in the system? Surely. But I don't think going with one payer is the way to go, not with the public option, certainly, but that's really been taken off the table. They're talking about the co-op now. Ultimately, there's not going to be bipartisan cooperation. I don't think the Republicans are going to ante up. The Democrats say they have another idea up their sleeve, and they're willing to play that card, so stay tuned.